It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio22. That's RVRadio2022. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here's the latest edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Welcome in, everybody, to the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, the post-regular season edition and the FFPC World Famous Playoff Challenge edition of the High Stakes Lowdown. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight and watching this. Appreciate it. Before we get into the show, I do want to remind everybody, if you have not gotten in the FFPC World Famous FFPC Playoff Challenge, number one, what the heck are you doing? This is the perfect way to end the season. $200 to enter, and you could win not $300, not $400, but $500,000. And it's super simple. You pick your lineup. One player per NFL team. You're fading two teams in this contest. You get the two extra bonus flex spots. And you you don't draft your team. You set your lineup. And then that's it for the playoffs. You don't mess around with it. There's no labor-intensive stuff that you need to do with your playoff challenge team. You just watch them ride all the way to the Pro Football Playoff Championship, which I can't say Super Bowl, but I just did. And then double points in the Pro Football Championship in that contest as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun this year. Somebody's going to win $500,000. If you don't want to fork over the $200, we get it. No problem. Enter the Football Guys Playoff Challenge, $35, and you can still win a six-figure grand prize. $100,000 is going to the winner, who just invests $35 into that contest as well. Both of those contests, myffpc.com, they are live and they close out at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday afternoon, right before, before the Seahawks and the 49ers kick off the 2023 NFL playoffs. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get into tonight's program. I want to welcome in my guest. A guy who has been on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour before, a guy who has two top 10 finishes in the FFPC main event, both last year and this year. Eighth place last year, I believe. Ninth place this year, I believe. Either way, it's two top 10 finishes in one of the most competitive, probably the most exciting High Stakes Fantasy Football tournaments out there in the FFPC main event. And he's been in the top 10 the last couple of years. We'll bring him in right now. Rob Linkowski, welcome back to the show, Rob. Thank you so much for spending your Tuesday evening with me.
Thank you, Balky. And again, I just want to thank you for everything you do for FFPC and for the whole fantasy world. I mean, I follow you very regularly, and all good things I tell everyone back here in Pittsburgh about you.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, which I think is going to be interesting because we're going to get in some Najee Harris discussion tonight. Because yes, he, I think not only, you know, because we're going to spend about half our conversation on 2023, but I want to spend the other half on the playoff challenge. But okay, this is a player not only you know well, but yes, this is a player that has been integral into your back-to-back top 10 finishes. So we're going to get in to that as well. So number one, everybody who's watching right now, everybody who's listening, everybody who's downloading, streaming, what have you, they're going to wonder, there are a lot of successful high-stakes players out there, Rob, that have never finished in the top 10 of the FFPC main event. You have now done this in back-to-back years.
Right.
Mind-blowing accomplishment. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell us the secret. How did you do it in 2021, and how did you do it in 2022? Were there any similarities to the way you drafted, managed the team, waivers, lineup decisions? Was there anything that you can glean when you look back on this year's team and you compare it, last year's team, when you compare it to this year's team?
I think very similar. I've always been a heavy wide receiver owner. So I try and load up with two wide receivers, and then I typically always use those additional two flexes for wide receivers. But for a lot of times I was getting stuck at running back. So last year and this year, I basically through the first and second round would go a top wideout and a top runner. So my thought was, once I had that first top runner, I would load up my roster with wide receivers. So very commonly I would go one running back and then four straight runners. But I can honestly say that the key the last 2 and even 3 years is I have hit the home run at the tight end position. So even in 2020, I believe I finished 37th in the $1 million bracket, or $500,000 at that point. In 2020, all 3 years, I never owned Travis Kelce. So as you know, he's been the number one tight end the last 3 years. But surprisingly or ironically, I have owned the number two tight end 3 straight years. Yeah. So in 20, and what happened is I've used a late round pick on him. So in 2020, I got Darren Waller at probably 4-8. In 2021, to my delight, I got Mark Andrews at 5-10. And this year I took TJ Hawkinson at 5-12. So 3 straight years, I hit the second number tight end. So once I had that running back, I went receiver 2, 3, 4. I hit my tight end in the fifth round. And then from there, my basis of my team was already met.
Were all those tight end picks your first tight end selection of the draft? In other words, you didn't go with a tight end before those, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Yeah. So, okay, Rob, as you know, everybody who's watching this right now is going to be like, okay, Balky, you got to ask him this.
Right.
Who's going to be the tight end two in 2023? Do you have any insight into this?
Great question. So you would say, I think one of your questions that you wanted me to elaborate on is, do you think TJ Hawkinson would be that number two tight end next year, where he very well could be? You know, at Detroit, he was doing, and when he got traded, I kind of said, I don't think it's going to get worse. Well, it obviously got very much better. So if I had to just say right now, you know, 1 week, maybe Freiermuth in Pittsburgh, actually, you know, I say might for like a top two or three tight end, where you could maybe get him in the fifth, sixth round, as opposed to spending a second or third round pick on your tight end.
Okay. So Freiermuth is an interesting call, obviously. And it's hard for me to disagree with that, because this is a player that was rising up even in 2022 drafts. When you look at Hawkinson, and we'll just handle the Hawkinson question now, because I think the way I want to frame this is Irv Smith got activated off IR. Right.
Correct.
And obviously Minnesota has plans for him. How do you think he affects Hawkinson next year? And how do you think the presence of Irv Smith affects Hawkinson in main event drafts next year?
I think it will affect him a little bit, but I think, you know, obviously there's a reason why the Vikings traded for Hawkinson. And I mean, he got some high volume there, you know, even as you know, too, in the FFPC, when you get 1.5 point per reception at the tight end, you get like 3-4 balls on some of those drives, it adds up pretty quick. So he might cut into him a little bit, but I think Hawkinson very easily could be the second, third, or fourth tight end next year.
Is Irv Smith – okay, let's talk about Irv Smith for a second. Irv Smith the type of guy that if you wait on your second tight end in the FFPC, you would take a flyer on him? Is he the type of guy that if you already have Hawkinson, you would look to back Hawkinson up with Irv Smith? Or is he just a 100% flyer? Take him as you will. How do you view Irv Smith in 2023, Rob?
I would think I wouldn't start my team with like Irv Smith, you know, but I think certainly if you have Hawkinson, he's a great backup, because if something happened to Hawkinson. So yeah, I wouldn't, you know, basically go into a draft saying I want to get Irv Smith as my number one at this point, you know?
Right. But even if you don't have Hawkinson, you're willing to take a shot on him later, or do you think there's better options than him?
Even I think later. better options than Irv Smith right now, being you know, January of 2023. Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Kenneth Walker, because he was on three of your teams this past year. Now, was he on your ninth place team?
He was. Yeah. So under my name is one of my very good friends who's like my right-hand man in this, Robert Finkel. I literally speak. He actually made the million-dollar bracket as well, won his league. He's a very good friend of mine. We talk 2 to 3 times a day, you know, asking each other's opinion. And then all my kids have a 350 league. They kind of drafted Kenneth Walker too. And I got to give a shout out to, I'm sure you're familiar with Cynthia Freeland on NFL Network.
Absolutely. No question.
Just watching, it was like dinner time. I had the TV on, and Cynthia Freeland said, "Take Kenneth Walker. He's going to win your league for you." Yeah. So, you know, once I get to those 7, 8, 9 rounds, I like to take some upside rookies. And as you know, it didn't start off well for Kenneth Walker because Rashard Penny was having a nice year. So his injury really helped me. And the one thing I want to say, Balky, about this season that was different, like last year, I think I went 11-1 through my league. And this is a great plug for all those players out there, never to give up. I was actually, if you go back through my regular season, I was 1-5 in 12 points placed in my league after 6 weeks. Unbelievable. I mean, not that I was ready to throw in the towel, but then a domino effect happened. Penny got hurt, so I got Walker. Damian Harris got hurt, so Ramondre Stevenson became more relevant. Hawkinson got traded. And then another big thing is the Carolina Panthers let Baker Mayfield go, who was, you know, had no rapport with DJ Moore. So 4 things right there. And then I literally got on a tear, won 7 in a row, ended up being my point leader from week 5 to week 12, and then qualified for the million-dollar bracket. And the strange thing, too, was this year I started, I think there were teams in the million-dollar bracket. I think I started in the 700s. And then I just had a heck of a three-week run that ended up in 9th place.
Was that the highest you were throughout the championship round, was 9th place?
Yeah, and that's a great question, too. I think at one point I got up to 5th or 6th. And then, as we know, our prayers are still going for Damar Hamlin, obviously. And, you know, FFPC and All Rights, it was in their rules that, you know, a game can't roll into the next week. I think because I still had James Cook left for that week. So basically I played with 9. Maybe I could have got up to like, you know, 5th or 6th because I finished like 11 points out of 5th place. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm very happy and pleased with the 9th place finish.
Yeah, and good for you, man. And that is awesome. I did not handle that Bills-Bengals game as well as you did because it cost me probably 3 leagues, which is just – it's insane. You know, I'm going into that I'm going into the Monday night game thinking like – I don't want to make this about me, but I'm going into the Monday night game, and I'm thinking like, man, I got a chance for like 4 or 5 titles here.
Yes.
And plus, even if I don't hit it, I'm treated to this great Bills-Bengals game, which, by the way, not a lot of people know this. It set the Monday Night Football record for most combined wins between two NFL teams. And we didn't get to see it. And thank God that Damar Hamlin is making this miraculous recovery. I just heard today, I don't know if you heard this, that after Nyheim Hines returned that opening touchdown, he jumped up out of his hospital bed and ripped all these cords that were connected to him.
I didn't hear that.
Let's go, you know, and the doctors came rushing in because everything was beeping like crazy that, you know, it was insane. But good for him that he's recovering. I think he's in a Buffalo hospital now. He's good enough to travel. That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about what you just told me about Walker and Stevenson. You drafted Walker and Stevenson in that mid round, right? Taking a shot at high upside running backs or what have you. You had DJ Moore, Rob.
Correct. Yeah.
And go ahead.
No. So my 1st and 2nd round picks, I went with CD Lamb. So I got my 1st receiver, and then I went with Najee Harris at the 2. And then I went with DJ Moore at 3, and I took a big swing and miss, even the good players. I took Allen Robinson, as you know, who just had a tough year.
You and me both. I did the same thing.
And then I took Hawkinson at 5'12", and Balky actually at 6'1", I took it's the highest I ever took a quarterback. I took Mahomes. So he was, you know, unbelievable this year. 7-8, I went with Stevenson, and ironically, I drafted before the first Thursday night game.
Right.
So I'm a big, if you might remember from last year, big SEC guy, Georgia Bulldogs, you know, go Dogs, national champs last night. I love James Cook. So I took Cook in the 8th, and you might remember that Thursday night game against the Rams, 1 touch, 1 fumble, never touched the field again. Right. So Subsequent drafts after Thursday, he was going like rounds 14, 15. So I really overspend. And then I took Walker in the ninth round. So,
well, and it just goes to show you too, like even if you have a bad draft or things don't fall your way in the first month and a half of the year, things can, the ship can get righted, you know, which is why you never stop managing your team. Okay, so the quarterback thing, let's talk about here for a second. Because I think you and I are of the same mind on quarterbacks. I always historically wait. Now, a lot of people will draft a quarterback, like a top three, top four quarterback, Rob, and then they won't draft the quarterback the rest of the way. I took it to the next level the last few years, where I will wait till 10 quarterbacks are off the board, and then I'll draft a Rodgers, a Stafford, a Brady, you know, even a Prescott type, you know, guys like that. And then I won't draft the quarterback the rest of the way. I'm never doing it again after this year, because I was put into a corner, especially with my Prescott teams. And thankfully, I got lucky with Geno Smith. I got lucky with Jared Goff in some spots. But I'm never doing it again next year. If I take a quarterback, even if I wait that long, I am drafting a second quarterback. And I've taken it, the more I've thought about this over the last couple of weeks, I think I am willing to now be that guy who is one of the quarterback cherry poppers, right? I will take Jackson. I will take Mahomes. I will take Allen if they fall to the right spot, because I am seeing the value, even in a single quarterback league. I am seeing the value on why you should be doing that. With Mahomes this year, I feel like I'm preaching to the converted, but the fact that you took Mahomes early in this year, is that going to affect the way you draft quarterbacks next year?
I think so, because I was like with you, I would wait to draft like Brady, Rodgers, or Stafford in the 12th or 13th round and load up on everything. But when I saw Mahomes, it was so out of character. I said, let's go with it. And he probably, I mean, he was the number one quarterback, averaged close to 30 points. So I think I've converted, you know, it's nice having that top quarterback. Although that being said, you know, Herbert went right around where Mahomes went, and Herbert didn't have that great of a year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. And I think it's one of those things. I guess here's how I stand on it, and you may, you know, feel free to disagree. I feel like I am going to let the draft come to me at quarterback, something I've never done before. I always wait on quarterbacks, and we'll see what happens. I'm going to let the draft come to me, and if I like the value, I'm going to take it. If I don't like the value, I'm going to wait on it again, and that's just the way it is.
You know, the one thing, Balky, I'll say about this year that was different than a lot of others, I felt like there was never anything substantial on the waiver wire this year.
Oh, totally. 100%.
I can count on one hand my pickups. Like, I picked up McCole Hardman. He had three good weeks. I picked up the Patriots defense. Besides that, nothing really helped me. There was never anything on the waiver wire. It you know, years past, you could always get something that could plug in.
That has been a recurring theme, not only on this show, but the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. When I've talked to high stakes guests who have been competing against players like you, they've said the same thing throughout the season. There just was not that player that was worth going all in for, or a difference maker that maybe you didn't have to go all in for that ended up crushing it. There just wasn't that player this year, which
happens. You know, like last year, my team was very good right from the start, and I had a lot of depth. And, you know, sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad, because like this year, my team was very thin. Like, I had very few decisions that I could possibly make from, you know. And, you know, like if you got to start 10, I probably had 12 viable guys. So there wasn't much to choose from.
You know, we've seen that time and time again in these contests where people are trying to win a six-figure grand prize, million-dollar grand prize. And I sent out the FFPC mailer and I was like, okay, here's the winning lineup. And people are like, how in the hell did that roster win? It makes no sense, right? But the thing that these thin rosters have the advantage of is the decision making for your lineups. It's made for you. Yep. Like, you don't have to really sweat these lineup decisions like you might have to on a lot of deeper teams, which, I mean, the deeper teams can get you through the regular season, right?
Correct.
With 5 weeks and injuries or whatever. But when it comes down to it, based on how I've seen these people win six and seven figure grand prizes, give me the thin lineup. Or the thin roster, because the lineup is so much easier and you don't really regret any of the picks that you make as far as starts and sits go. Now, you know,
as far as one comment there, like my partner, Robert Finkel, his team, he had a lot of depth. So every week he had like five or six guys he had to pick two from. which you never sometimes don't make the right thing.
Most of the time, you're not making the right decision with something like
that. In fairness, I'm not a genius here. James Cook, I had to play in my playoff run. He had two big weeks 15 and 16. Here's something I want to ask you, Balky, and you might know the answer to this. The team that repeated as champions, the Bills team, mm-hmm. You know, I think their main guy was Jerick McKinnon. In my opinion, if you might remember, Hardman was hot in the middle. I think McKinnon kind of took that Hardman role, and that's when McKinnon's points really picked up when Hardman's been hurt for the last 6 weeks.
I think you're right on that. And I'll tell you how those guys won. Dom Baranyi, Sean Stutzman, and Mike Costantino. Is it Mike or is it Nick? I always forget. I think it's Nick Costantino.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's how they won it. So number one, they went wire to wire in the championship round last year. They just absolutely crushed it. They went wire to wire. Like, we had a B-Bag Batoba win the Football Guys Players Championship in back-to-back years a couple of years ago, which is insane. I mean, we think about, like, the better part of 15,000 teams. That's crazy. But to go wire to wire in a national contest like this, that just doesn't happen on any given year, much less back-to-back years. When they won this contest is week 15, and Costantino was talking to Mike Shope, former guest of this show, this show, the HSFFR, Mike Shope, Buffalo Sports Talk Radio, WGR 550. And these guys are obviously located in Buffalo. And he said to him, Mike said to him, like, why would you play Jerick McKinnon and Zay Jones in week 15 when you had Bam Knight? Because this is when Zonovan Knight was just, you know, cash and checks breaking necks, right? Why would you sit him? Costantino told Dom and Sean, his co-owners, and I think I might have brought this up on the show, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself. It was a game theory thing. He's like, everybody's going to be playing Zonovan Knight this week. Let's sit Zonovan Knight. We'll play McKinnon and Zay Jones. And those guys, McKinnon and Zay Jones, that was the three touchdown Zay Jones week. They combined to score like 70 points. And Bam Knight had like two. And that is when they shot up from 48th overall to first overall. And I don't want to say they coasted, but they put up big numbers after that. It's sometimes is something as simple, and you know this, top 10 in the main event the last year is something. Sometimes it's something as simple as one lineup decision that can make or break it. And those guys made it with that.
Absolutely. Credit to them. I mean, I don't know those three gentlemen, but congratulations. They're awesome.
And hopefully we'll get them on this program going forward. I'm sure they're making their media tour right now.
That's right.
So we'll see what happens there. Okay. I want to get into this Najee Harris conversation because you're in Pittsburgh, and Najee Harris, was he the one guy, the one constant between 2021 and 2022 on your FFPC main event top 10 teams?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So let me tell you about my Najee Harris experience over the last couple of years. I drafted him in a few spots last year. I drafted him in a lot of spots this year. And my contention was for drafting Harris, and I got him in the second round in a lot of drafts. My contention was I don't really care how efficient he is. He gets so much volume there that he is going to pay off. Maybe he's not the highest ceiling guy in the world, but he's going to pay off in the second round. And obviously he sunk a lot of teams this year.
Right.
He came on at the very end, but at the point my Harris teams, they were dead in the water. I didn't have a chance. And it wasn't just with Najee Harris, but he had a big influence on why those teams didn't do well. So knowing where he went this past year, where would you be comfortable taking him in 2023, knowing that he was a borderline first, second rounder this past year? Where do you think he's going to go? Where would you be comfortable taking him, Rob?
My son just showed me early projections for next year, and I saw him going 312. I'd be thrilled to get Najee Harris at 312. I think Balky, he's still a second round pick, you know, because of the volume. And what kind of just drives you crazy is the big thing that he lost, I believe he went from like 71 catches to 31 catches.
Yeah.
And Jaylen Warren had a big part of that. The thing with Najee Harris, though, if you watch that Baltimore game Sunday night, like Jaylen Warren always came in on third down. But when push came to shove and that was the winning drive, Najee Harris didn't go off the field and he caught like four or five balls. And then the ultimate go-ahead touchdown there for the Steelers to beat the Ravens. So I'd still be comfortable with him as a second-round pick.
He went, so I'm looking at this right now. He went down in rushing yardage, 162 yards. Okay, yep. I get it. He still had seven rushing touchdowns both years, so each year. But you're right. The difference was a difference in 41 targets. It was a difference of 33 catches And on those catches, it was about a difference of 240-ish yards. And that's where it was on there. He had three receiving touchdowns last year, three receiving touchdowns this year. Things like that are fluky. So, and again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Rob, but if that dude's out there in the third round, you're probably grabbing him everywhere in 2020.
Absolutely. No question. You know, like if I see, and we study those early, like mock drafts and, you know, the 350s, you know, that there, then I could get two receivers round one and two. If you give me Najee Harris in the third, I'm happy, you know?
Because then he doesn't, you know, pressure is not the right word, but then he doesn't have the expectation for you or the necessity to put up, you know, top 10 running back stats, right?
Right.
At that point, top 15, top 20 is even fine in the third round. So I think
you go back to your point about the championship team with Zay Jones. You just said it too. The reason I started 1-5 was a lot to do with Najee Harris, but like you said, not many teams survived and got to the big bracket with Najee Harris. So he was kind of a difference maker those 3 weeks where he hit like 15, 16, and 20 points.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You had mentioned the Bills backfield earlier with James Cook. Now, it's my understanding, and I have to double check, but I'm 95% certain Devin Singletary is a free agent.
Correct.
Upcoming. Okay. So Singletary could be gone from the Bills backfield, although I think you could make the case that the best spot and really the best team, like the team that could benefit the most by signing him, is the Bills. Yes. Like he could be easily be coming back to the Bills, maybe on not a long-term contract, but you know, a 1-year prove it, whatever. So are we going to see, regardless of what happens with Singletary, do you anticipate the same thing happening? Even if Singletary doesn't come back to Buffalo, do you think that they're just going to get another complimentary back to go with James Cook and it's just going to be running back roulette every week there? Or do you think the Bills, we might see an alpha running back with Buffalo next year? Because if we do, now you're talking about a first-round pick if that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, if Singletary was out there and James Cook was the sole back, he's a first or second rounder. I mean, he's a lot like his brother. I watched him closely at Georgia. You know, I loved him. I kind of relate James Cook to like an Alvin Kamara, you know, coming out. So I thought big things of him. And you kind of saw the passing the torch there halfway through the season. And, you know, Cook, I don't know if you remember that Monday night, he had two nice runs. He was getting loose that Monday night. It would have been interesting to see what he could do. But yeah, I don't think Cook's an every down back guy. So I think whether Singletary's or not there, they'll bring somebody in. But I'm very high on James Cook moving forward.
You know, I drafted him in a couple of dynasty leagues in the mid second round in my rookie drafts last year, not expecting much, but knowing that the explosive possibility was there. And somebody would have to knock my socks off with a dynasty trade this offseason, because I think I'm going to hold him and see what happens. I think it could be very, very compelling. Yeah. All right. So let's put a bow on the 2022 season. I want to look for, well, not quite put a bow on the 2022 season. I want to talk to you about the world famous FFPC Playoff Challenge, a contest I know you have participated in the past. For anybody who's not familiar, You have to pick one player per team. So essentially you're fading two teams in the playoffs. You cannot stack in this format. You can't do Mahomes and Kelsey. You can't do Cousins and Jefferson. It's just, it doesn't work. You have to pick one player per team, double points in the Pro Football Championship. Okay. So participating in this contest in the past, Rob, what's one thing that you've learned, one piece of advice that you could give to our viewers tonight in order for them to achieve maximum success in this contest?
I think you have to basically pick your bracket and then work backwards, you know, like decide who you think is going to go to the Super Bowl. And then you made another great point, you know, do you take Mahomes or do you take Kelsey? You know, well, Kelsey is a big difference maker over every tight end right now, except Hawkinson, right? So, you know, I think you basically take Kelsey, ride him as long as you can, and then basically, you know, get another quarterback that you think is going to go deep, you know? And I think that's what I'm going to try and do. I'll probably grab Kelsey off the Chiefs and then go with a different quarterback.
All right. So let me ask you this, as long as we're talking about Kelsey versus Mahomes, because I feel like the last 5 years, people in this contest have had to make that call. I go Mahomes or Kelsey. The Chiefs are the odds-on favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. And we don't necessarily care about winning the Super Bowl in this contest. We just care about getting to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Kelsey, and when we look at tight ends over the course of the season, it was a dumpster fire outside of Kelsey.
Yes.
We've seen flashes from Hockenson, but it wasn't until he got traded. We saw flashes of Goddard, and then he got hurt, and then Hurts got hurt. Yeah. We've seen flashes of Mark Andrews, right? But now he gets the defending AFC champs in round one. You might only get one game out of him. So for you, the plan is Mahomes, right? I beg your pardon. The plan is Kelsey for you. If the plan is Kelsey for the Chiefs, what's the quarterback that you think you're picking?
So I'm going to go with my Super Bowl prediction here. I'm going to ride Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the best three teams in football.
Burrow Kelsey is the way you're going on this. Though.
Yep.
Okay.
And so I think the best three teams are the Chiefs, the Bills, and the
Bengals.
Bengals. Yep. And I think the Bengals are playing the best right now. So I think I'm going to roll the dice and go Burrow, and then I'll grab Kelsey off the Chiefs.
What about who's your – okay, so knowing that and knowing you can flex out tight ends in this contest, where does Goddard enter the conversation for you, Rob?
Well, Goddard and another guy who had a great run is Kittle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was thinking about Kittle. He had a great 3-week run here where he was really quiet in the regular season and people won a lot of money with Kittle there. So, but definitely Goddard
and you could go with Kittle and Goddard.
Yes.
In this contest if you really wanted to. And it would make some sense.
And you get that 1.5.
that's why I bring it up too. Because I can't remember who I was talking to this about, but we were talking about the tight ends in the FFPC playoff challenge. And like a lot of the stud tight ends this year made the playoffs. You know, we've talked about a bunch of them. You know, you had Kelsey and you had Goddard and you had Hockenson, obviously, on this. Kittle is another one. But don't forget Dalton Schultz. For the Cowboys as well. I mean, that's another guy that we should be considering here. And then there was one other guy in the AFC whose name is escaping. Dawson Knox is another guy. If you think the Bills are going to go deep, you can make the case like, well, people are going to pick Allen and Diggs. Give me the Dawson Knox and we'll see what happens there. So I think tight end is going to be very, very interesting in this contest. All right.
Yeah.
We have not talked about, and I think, you know, God bless everybody out there doing podcasts and write-ups on the playoff challenge strategy and everything that goes with it. But a lot of the times short shrift is given to the teams that are expected to be one and done because they say, you pick your kicker off that team. You pick your defense off that team. But what I think the Dolphins are interesting because they are explosive. We know what Tyreek Hill and what we know what Jalen Waddle are capable of. Now they're probably not going to have Tua Tagovailoa throwing to them, but they have been productive with Bridgewater. And maybe they get Skylar Thompson. I don't know what happens. But how do you handle Hill and Waddle in this contest? Because they are going to be I don't have any facts to back this up. I'm just sure that the majority of the players in this contest are going to be fading them because they are the seventh seed.
Right.
But they could make some noise. Rob Linkowski, how do you handle Hill and Waddle?
I think I'm going to pass on the Dolphins. You know, I haven't set my lineup yet because I've put it in until Saturday. But, you know, and this is interesting, too. Like Tyreek Hill, even last year, because I owned Tyreek Hill last year, he kind of got quiet here the last 3 weeks in the.
He got banged up in week 18. So he's not fully healthy either.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because when I took CeeDee Lamb in the first round, it was either CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill. So I got to publicly apologize to my son because he was next to me and he's like, Dad, you've had Hill for 4 years. Take CeeDee Lamb. And Lamb got off to a rough start. Hill was big. So I publicly apologize to my son for that one. But I think I'm in the playoff challenge. I'm going to stay away from Waddle and Hill personally, and maybe the whole Miami team, actually. Because they got to go to Buffalo, right?
To Buffalo, yes. It's not, and I still think they're riding that Hamlin wave right now of just playing for him, and there's a lot of emotion with that team, and you can't really underscore that. I think that is it's a thing, and it means something for Buffalo this year. All right. I think you and I are in agreement that at least three of the best teams, arguably the three best teams, are in the AFC, and the Bills, the Bengals, and the Chiefs.
I think so.
The NFC. Whew, you flip wide to that. Open. It is wide open. You have the Jalen Hurts injury. You have the Niners with a seventh-round pick as their starting quarterback. You have the Minnesota Vikings, who have been outscored by their opponents on the season as the three seed. I mean, and you have the four seed in the Dallas Cowboys, who are going on the road in the first round. Yep. Anything can happen, and usually will. Who is your pick as far as teams go to get to the Super Bowl from that conference, and who is your pick from that team to be on your playoff challenge roster?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, Balky, but I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys.
And
I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb, but I can't believe it because, man, they can look real good one week and bad the next. I've never been a real big Philadelphia Eagle fan. I think at some point, the 49ers, they got a great system. I think, you know, Purdy might, you know, have some limitations there. But I'm just – and I saw what Dallas did to Minnesota. I'm going to go with a Cincinnati-Dallas final in the Super Bowl.
Wow. Now, that would be entertaining. Zach Taylor versus Mike McCarthy, Joe Burrow versus Dak Prescott. Man, they're printing the storylines right now, Rob. If that happens.
I know this is on tape, so I'll own up to it if they both get bounced first round. So.
And they could. I mean, we'll see. Now, the CeeDee Lamb thing, because I know he was integral in your regular season success.
Yes.
Is there any bias picking Lamb on this?
No, I would just say, like, if you're going to say Dallas is going to make the Super Bowl, that's who that, and I'm going to take Burrow. That I want probably the next most dynamic player from Dallas, so I'm going to take CeeDee Lamb. Yeah.
So at that point, like, if the Cowboys make the Super Bowl, if you're planning on the Cowboys making the Super Bowl, you believe that Lamb would be the correct player to own over a pretty dynamic backfield in Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Pro Bowler, Tony Pollard. And I guess maybe it comes into a game theory thing, because I would think that a lot of people, if they're believing in the Cowboys, would believe in Tony Pollard, but maybe that's what makes CeeDee Lamb so attractive. And they have a pretty good tight end in Dalton Schultz, tight end premium format. Maybe a lot of people pick Schultz. Maybe CeeDee Lamb's going to be under-owned in this contest.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, so.
I want to ask you one final question. You've been so gracious with me tonight, and I apologize for my tardiness. I blame the Better Sports Network and the draft I was in there. It was a whole thing to do. All right, so one sleeper player that you have not given us already that is going to be on your FFPC Playoff Challenge roster, or maybe on a couple of rosters, however you want to play it this year, a player that you think will be under-owned in this contest, we'll label it like that, and then a player that will be highly owned in this contest that you think is not worth his salt, that is going to be a big bust in the world-famous FFPC Playoff Challenge. Rob, if I was to ask you that question, who would your two players be as your answer?
I would probably stay away from, because I think I'm going to stay away from Austin Eckler, because I think Jacksonville's going to beat him. I got to, you know, that Charger team's a roller coaster. So I'm going to go with a Jaguar upset. So, you know, a lot of people might take Eckler because he's like a calculator when it comes to, you know, fantasy points. I'll stay away from him. And then I think my sleepers are, we brought them up, either a Goddard or a Kittle, because I think they can both, you know, at least go to the NFC Championship there and get multiple games there.
There's going to be a lot of McCaffrey owners. There's going to be a lot of A.J. Brown owners. Yes. There's going to be some DeVonta Smith owners, and obviously a ton of Jalen Hurts owners now that we saw him play in Week 18. I think that a lot of people, that's like, okay, that's activation. You can safely play him in a lot of people's minds. I don't know if you can, but in a lot of people's minds, you can safely play Jalen Hurts now that he played in Week 18. So I think that the Goddard thing is interesting. I think the Kittle thing is interesting for sure going forward on this. I think that you have a handle on this. You have not only have a lot of experience with the playoff challenge, but you have something that not a lot of people can boast about, and that is back-to-back finishes in the top 10 of the FFPC main event. I know you sent in, I saw it, I can't remember who sent it to me, but somebody within the FFPC sent me the image that you sent in of everything that needed to happen in order for you to win the $1 million on Monday night. And obviously didn't come to fruition, but it had to be quite a ride for you to start that low in the championship round and then see your team just crush it three straight weeks, man. That is what we dream of, and it had to be awesome.
You know, Balky, like when I finished eighth last year, I said to myself, you know, obviously we all thrive to make the $1 million, but I'm like, am I ever going to do better? So when I was sitting at 1-5, I'm like, I should have retired, right? Go out on top. And then it was just truly a magical run where, you know, and that you never know. So many times, like when I would talk to my best friend, Robert Finkel, I would say, you know, when you're 1-5, he would say, Rob, you never know, it can turn around. And I even told him since this happened, you know, I'm sure we're saying that just trying to be nice, but this year is proof that just keep going. And then, you know, my team got hot at the right time, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all you need. I mean, we've seen this happen in multiple championship rounds in our national contests over the last couple of years. Just, it's like the NFL playoffs, just get in. And then we'll see what happens. And once you get in, that's where the magic happens. It certainly happened for you this year. Congratulations, sir. Back to back top 10 finishes. Good luck in the playoff challenge this year.
Thank you.
I certainly appreciate you carving out some time on a Tuesday night to hang out with me and talk fantasy football. We'll definitely have you back at some point again. Good luck in all your leagues in 2023 as well. Rob Linkowski, thank you so much, man.
My friend. Balky, you're the best. Keep doing what you're doing. You're great for the fantasy football and that. And I enjoy you. You're doing a great job. Thank you for everything.
You're the man. I appreciate that, Rob. Enjoy the NFL playoffs, my friend.
Okay. Thank you.
Rob Linkowski, ladies and gentlemen, the ninth place finisher in the FFPC main event this year. Back-to-back top 10 finishes in the 2022 and 2021 FFPC main events. I don't know what I need to do. Like you saw it from the horse's mouth. You heard it from the horse's mouth here tonight. A guy who's done it back-to-back years. I would contend that while it has been unbelievable what Barani and Stutzman and Costantino did going back-to-back in the FFPC main event, it is almost as tough to get to be in the top 10 back-to-back years in the FFPC main event. Incredible stuff from Rob Linkowski tonight, and hopefully he gave you some advice on what to do in the world-famous FFPC Playoff Challenge, which closes, ladies and gentlemen, in a little bit less than 4 days. You have less than 4 days to register your squads at $200 apiece to try to win a $500,000 grand prize in a $1.4 million plus prize pool. All you have to do is pick one player per team. You fade two teams. You watch that roster ride it out all the way through the NFL playoffs. You don't have to tinker with it. There's no salary caps. There's no draft. You can put together teams in minutes. I was talking with my co-host on one of my other shows today who won $1,000 in the Football Guys Playoff Challenge last year at just $35 to enter. Same rules, $100,000 grand prize up for grabs. He won $1,000 last year, and he was telling people, like, this is silly not to get into it. You can formulate a team in 2 to 3 minutes, in this at myffpc.com, and you can turn $35 into $1,000. You can turn $35 into $100,000. You can turn $200 into $500,000. It's all at myffpc.com. That will complete tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind everybody, the Better Sports Network is the home for the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show. That airs live Thursday night from 7 until 9 p.m. Eastern time. Yours truly and a special guest co-host on the show this week. And then, of course, Friday night, 10-9 Central, right here on this FFPC YouTube channel. Myself and the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship Commissioner, Farrell Elliott, will be joined by another high-stakes player to pick their brains on what they're doing for the world-famous FFPC Playoff Challenge, as we will be less than 24 hours away from rosters locking in that contest when we air that on Friday night as well. So make sure you're signing up for that, myffpc.com. And I'd be remiss, I should mention, there are a ton of great deals on FFPC Dynasty squads. Plenty of orphans out there, reduced price orphans that you can get a really good deal on. Some people that are motivated to move their teams. I always say this too, you know, yes, there are some bad Dynasty teams out there, but a lot of these Dynasty teams, it's players that have just gotten married, started a new job, had a kid, moved, and they just don't have time in their lives for these dynasty teams. And you can get a lot of great dynasty teams. Some of them have not even been reduced price at all because they're really good dynasty teams. And if you want to take that over and compete right away, you know, it's the equivalent of taking over a team that's ready to win now, and you don't have to do much tinkering on it, and you can compete for a dynasty title in 2023. That's at myffpc.com as well. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. I want to thank Rob Linkowski, the FFPC, and all of you for listening, streaming, downloading, viewing, what have you. We will be back on this program for the season finale of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown a week from today at 10, 9 Central. Don't miss it. We'll be back here on these airwaves at 10, 9 Central on Friday night with the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Thanks for watching, everybody. Be good. Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.